the end of the chapter, verses 16 through 20, what we often refer to as the Great Commission, what Jesus gives. So if you want to read along, we'll be on page 1521 in the Pew Bibles, which is what I'm going to be preaching out of. I have one up here myself. So if you'd like to follow along, that's going to be our text for today. And since we're talking about the Great Commission, I think most of us are aware that this is the section where Jesus sends, he commissions the disciples to go out and make converts. Except he uses a different word. He says, make disciples. And so today, the lesson is going to be on discipleship. And the reason that the title of the lesson was Do Something Big is because I'm going to suggest that we often limit ourselves to thinking too small about things. And Jesus said, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And so that's a pretty big task. And we need to think big, and we need to do something big if we're actually going to fulfill that command. So let me go ahead and read the passage, and then we'll pray, and then get into the lesson. Matthew 28, chapter 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father, thank you that before Jesus ascended to be with you, he left this command to the church about how we should go about making disciples. We thank you, God, that we have this command. It's not always easy for us to understand. It's not always easy for us to do, and yet we have it here in front of us this morning. And I pray that as we think about discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus and to obey everything that he taught, I ask that you would give us insight into understanding this passage. And not just understanding it, but insight into how to apply it so that we can truly become those who go and make disciples. We thank you for Jesus. We know that the power of this command is his death and resurrection. We just remembered his death and resurrection just a few moments ago. We remembered and celebrated that. I ask God that you would help that to become real in our lives. Not just something that we do once a week on Sunday as part of our worship service, but something that we reflect on throughout the week, even daily. And we remember the great love that was shown to us even while we were his enemies, and that would spur us on to remember commands like this, to go out and share that message with others. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us, and we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last 2 weeks when we've been gone, we've done a lot of driving. It began with driving down to Kentucky, and then we drove down to Arkansas, and I left the family in Arkansas, and I drove down to Texas, and then 3 days later, I turned around and drove back to Arkansas, picked the family up, and we did 2 days of driving back home, and then we drove over last weekend. We went down into somewhere in like central Indiana, so there's been a lot of driving, and if you're anything like me, when you do a lot of driving, it's a lot of time for thinking. And I read some books, so I had a lot of time to myself, especially on that trip to Texas and back, to do some thinking. And I got thinking on that trip about the church and about how I think that we end up limiting ourselves as followers of Jesus in the sense that that we just get a really small understanding of who we are and what we're about. And we make excuses for why we should have limited, small way of thinking. And so people will say things like, well, we've got a really good church for a place as small as Otisville. We can't really reach out. There's too many churches in town, and how are we going to find people? It's not that big of a place. And we bring to our situation a small way of thinking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Thinking about church is too small. In church, we typically limit our thinking to what we do or what we want. So what's our church about? Well, we come together on Sundays. We do 5 things. We gather together. We focus on getting things right. And that seems to be, in a lot of ways, what the essence of what we think our church is about. The things that we do when we come together on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever it is. In a worst case, our thinking about church is too small when we focus on what we want. And I mean, like a selfish way of thinking, what we want. Well, I don't like the songs that we sing. I want something else. Or I don't like the slides because they get messed up when the preacher inputs them incorrectly. And so we complain about what we don't like in church, you know, in our gatherings when we come together. And that's a really small way of thinking, because it puts us at the center. And if we guessed today and said there's 95 or 100 people that were in our auditorium before the kids took off, that's one person out of 100. And if we start thinking even more about the people that are around the area that are not even reached, that's one person out of hundreds of people. Who am I to put myself and my own interests at the center of what I think the church should be about? So we have these small ways of thinking that are focused around either what we selfishly want or the things that we do when we gather together, instead of thinking about who we are. Okay, so we focus on what we do, what we want, versus who we are. And I think that if we began to think more about who we are, it might help us to broaden the way that we think about church. Because rather than saying, well, I need to show up on Sunday because I need to accomplish some things, I need to do some things so that God's not angry, I need to cover the acts of worship, I need to be there, I need to take communion, all of these things that we do, but if we begin thinking about, well, when I take communion, I'm going to be reminded as a follower of Jesus that there's something bigger at stake than me just taking a piece of cracker and a tiny cup of juice. You know, how many of us come to church and all we do at the Lord's Supper is we have a snack because we're not really thinking through what's going on when we're doing it. But when we think about who we are, then the focus, even in our singing, becomes about magnifying the name of God or Jesus, bringing glory to him and to his name. When we read the word, how many of us check out at that point and use it as the time to write our check for the contribution later? Or we don't follow along because we just don't like opening a book or looking up on the screen. But every time we have the word opened, and the men that do the readings are doing an excellent job of providing a few comments before the reading as well, it's the word of God being read to us. And in that, we're learning about God, we're learning about God's people, we're learning about what he's calling us to. Then we come to the Lord's Supper. I've already addressed that. Same thing with the preaching. Hopefully I'm not up here just doing a lecture. Hopefully we're understanding that this is teaching about the Word of God so that we'll be able to do something with it, so that we'll be able to obey when we come out of this. So I want us today to shift our thinking away from what we're doing right now, just the act of being here and doing some things together, and shift our thinking towards who we are, followers of Jesus. So that when we read the text from out of Matthew, which I'm trying to call back up here, but it's not working. Maybe it doesn't like reverse. It's like me, I don't know. It's not page 1521 in your Bible. So that, you know, when we're reading this passage, we can see ourselves like the 11 disciples that went to Galilee. They went directly, notice what the text says. Thank you. Notice what the text says in verse 16. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So before we even get to the Great Commission, we already see the disciples in complete obedience to Jesus. Before he even speaks a word to them about this Great Commission, they go exactly to the location that he had told them to go. Now, they don't know what he's going to say. And I don't know that we've even, out of Matthew, that they've even seen Jesus themselves yet. They've heard about what's happened. But they went to where he told them to go. Who knows what they thought? Maybe they thought he's going to be angry that we all ran away after he got arrested. It doesn't matter what they thought. What matters is they followed his command. Okay, so before he instructs them further about go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, we see the disciples already living that lifestyle of being in complete obedience to Jesus. Just at the beginning. And look at their posture in verse 17, their attitude. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So they obeyed him. Most of them, at least, had the proper priority in place. They worshiped him. They didn't. What I'm getting at is they didn't show up with an attitude of Jesus needs to do something for me. Okay, so for lack of a better phrase, they came to worship, but some doubted. So which ones are we? Are we the ones? Did we come in today with some doubt? Now, by doubt, I don't mean do we believe or disbelieve. By doubt, I mean, did we come in today saying, maybe I'll follow, maybe I won't, I'm going to get a snack, I'll do some things. If worship hits me right, if I feel good when I leave, then I'll consider doing something about it. Or, like the disciples, are we here today to obey what Jesus commanded and to be worshipful about it? Notice that this is all going on before Jesus even begins to give this command. This is not a response to the command of the Great Commission. They were only able to hear the Great Commission properly and correctly because they had obeyed, followed, and worshiped. That set the context for them to be able to hear the command properly. Okay, many times we find that we're unaware of what the command to us is. And we don't know what it is, and we haven't heard it, because we haven't had the right attitude. We're not obeying what we know, we're not following, and we're not worshipful about it. And then we wonder why the Bible doesn't make any sense, and I don't know what to do, and God doesn't ever speak to me. It's because we're not creating the condition by which we can hear the command of God. Because we're not worshipful, we're not following, we're not obedient. So Jesus wants us to think big about discipleship. Our faith should be something that we give our lives to. Okay, faith, it's not just something where we show up on Sunday do some things, and go home for another week. Jesus gave them a mission, and it was going to be a mission that was going to take the rest of their lives to do. Not just showing up on Sunday, but committing themselves to making disciples of all nations. So Jesus wants us to think about discipleship. And in this passage, there are a few points that we can pull out about discipleship. The first one is obvious, maybe. It's not always obvious. But discipleship is about obedience to Jesus. You know, I think Ben mentioned in his class this morning about some groups that he's been a part of here where we've read the Bible together and we've talked about obedience. And I think in that group, that's where we kind of wrestled with this idea that obedience isn't always a given when we think about following Jesus. It should be, but it's not always. Because a person in our religious context can come to church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, break a whole bunch of commands throughout the week, and not really give much attention to that because they've shown up at the appointed times. That's not the way of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that the way of Jesus is to skip those meetings, so make sure you're here. But what I am saying is that we have to realize that for Jesus, following him starts with obedience to his commands. And the first thing that Jesus says is, go. Now, the first thing he says is, therefore, which I'm going to address at the end. The second word Jesus says to the disciples is, go. He sent them. So they had to leave their comfort zone. They had to leave what was known and go into what was unknown in order to obey this command of Jesus. Sadly, we hear the word go, and we translate it as come to us or stay here. You know, stay here, come to us. But Jesus said, he said, go. And so if we're going to be obedient to what Jesus said here, one of the first things that we have to realize is that Jesus is sending us to others. He's not calling others necessarily to come to us. Okay, he might be doing that, but his command to us is go. Go. And make disciples, teaching them to obey. Notice how he said that? In verse 20, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's how we're going to know whether a person is a disciple. That's how we're going to know whether we're a disciple or not. Are we obedient to the commands that Jesus taught? If we're not, hard to say we're a disciple. If we are, that's the path that Jesus wants us to walk in. So discipleship starts with obedience to Jesus. It then moves on to be about making other disciples. And notice that Jesus says this in verse 20 or verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So his command after he tells them to go is to make disciples. And the people that he wants them to interact with are not their own people. He says all nations. Now, this is an Old Testament word where in later Old Testament history, the Jews began to get a greater sense that God did not want them to be isolated off by themselves, but he wanted them to be a beacon of light for all nations. That if they lived in obedience to the law, that somehow that would be a testament to all the nations around them of the glory and goodness of God. So Jesus is giving his disciples that same mission, and he's calling them to go and make disciples of all nations, to expand the kingdom to include all people, that nobody is now outside the reach of the gospel. Nobody is outside of the love of God. So we go in obedience and we begin to make disciples of all nations. And his process for this is in verse 19, baptizing them and teaching them to obey. Notice that those two things go together. He doesn't just say baptize them. Go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them. The sentence doesn't end there. Sadly, sometimes our sentences do end there. We put so much work into getting a person into the baptistry, and then we don't follow up with them afterwards. And many folks end up falling away at this point because they've not understood or they've not been taught, as we've talked about here a number of times, that baptism is not an ending point, it's a beginning point. And from the point of our baptisms, we move into obedience according to what Jesus has said. So we have to take the commands of Jesus and begin teaching them. And then discipleship is about equipping disciples to make other disciples. So Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So the obedience that's going to be taught by the people trying to make disciples will include this command, because it's a command that Jesus gave to them. And if Jesus commanded the disciples to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, then this will be part of what a disciple teaches somebody who's becoming a disciple. So it's a cycle. As we grow in discipleship, we disciple others, and we equip them to go out and do the same as part of their obedience to Jesus. So this kind of work is for all followers of Jesus, not just a few, not just the preacher or whoever. But growing disciples realize that part of what they need to do is try to expand their outreach so that others can come into this process as well. But discipleship is driven by the authority and the presence of Jesus. So it's focused on obedience, it's focused on making other disciples, and it's focused on equipping those disciples to then go out and do the same. But underlying all of it is the authority and presence of Jesus. So verses 18 and 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he gives the command. And after he gives the command, he says to them, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus orders this command on the basis of the authority that he himself has. It's a heavenly command. This is not Jesus just wishing them well at the very end before he goes up to be with the Father. Hey guys, why don't you try this and let's hope for the best. Out of that heavenly authority, he issues this command as the last thing he says to the disciples in Matthew, that they would go out and make disciples. And then, knowing that this is a hard, difficult thing for many of us to do, he then underlies it even more by his presence. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So he doesn't say, I'll be with you for a couple of weeks to get things rolling and then you're on your own. He says, I have all authority, and out of that authority, here's the command I'm leaving you with, but don't forget, I will be with you always, always, to the very end of the age. So he commands us, then he equips us to be able to do this. Do you see that? He commands us out of his heavenly authority, but then he equips us by his very own presence to be able to do what he's commanded us to do. He's with us to do the work. It's supernatural strength and power from God that we need to be and to make disciples. Now, this is the question I want us to think about for just a couple minutes here as we wrap up. What would it look like for us to think about our church as an outpost of the kingdom of God, focused around prayer, obedience to the word, and discipleship, and using our church as a beachhead for forays and missions into the nations, making disciples who make disciples who make disciples? It would be a kingdom movement. But for us to get there, we have to think about what our next steps are going to be. How are we going to follow through on what Jesus has commanded here? I think we need to think about, what are we afraid of? What excuses do we make for ourselves? What attitudes do we need to let go of? What problems to our obedience always seem to crop up? But I'd like you to think about, what are you hearing from the Word in this message? What commands of Jesus are coming to your mind? And what do you need to do about them? Because that's kind of simple obedience is what Jesus says we need to have more of. That this is what Jesus said, and I'm going to do it because I'm trying to grow as a disciple by doing everything that he commanded so that I can then teach somebody else to do the same. How will you be a disciple, and what is your next step? Think about those things as we stand and sing our last song.